Let us pray. Tender and compassionate God, whose strength is made perfect in our weakness, help us to believe that you receive us as we are. More than this, help us, imperfect though we are, to be carriers of the message of your love. Like earthen vessels that carry treasures, may we worship in spirit and in truth through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Old Testament, a reading from Isaiah. God's message to his appointed, to Cyrus, whom he took by the hand to give the task of taming the nations, of terrifying their kings. He gave them free rein, no restrictions. I'll go ahead of you, clearing the paving and the road. I'll break down before city gates, smash padlocks, kick down barred entrances. I'll lead you to buried treasures, secret caches of valuables, confirmations that it is, in fact, I, God, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. It is because of my dear servant Jacob, Israel, my chosen, that I've singled you out, called you by name, and given you this privileged work. And you don't even know me. I am God, the only God there is. Besides me, there are no real gods. I'm the one who armed you for this work, though you don't even know me, so that everyone from east to west will know that I have no God rivals. I am God, the only God there is. I form light and create darkness. I make harmonies and create discords. I, God, do all these things. The word of life. Thanks be to God. Please stand in body or spirit for the Psalter, Psalm 19, found on page 751 of the Blue Hymnal. We're reading this without responses, and we will start on page 751. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, the righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, as your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. But who can understand one's own errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Also, keep your servant from the insolent. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. From the New Testament, a reading from 2 Corinthians. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do. But we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. We'll be reading three verses from the sixth chapter of Matthew. And it's a chapter that is talking about practical ways of living as Christians. I'll say a little more about that in a moment. But hear these words from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust consume, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to be in a moment of prayer with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Lord, and as we meditate and reflect on your word, may the words help elucidate the gifts that we have in life, the treasures that are hidden in plain view. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. I may be dating myself a bit when I ask you this question. How many of you have seen the movie Apollo 13? Now, it goes back a while, doesn't it? But if you remember what happened on Apollo 13, maybe this story will make more sense and how it relates to the scripture of the day. If you remember, that mission was one that was supposed to go to the moon and the land on the moon. But they were forced to turn around and come back to Earth because of a catastrophic electrical failure. Now, for a couple of days, NASA didn't know whether they would make it back or not. They conserved all of the energy they could. They turned down all of the lights in the cabin. They had only the basic communication. While they were in the midst of their journey back home, in the midst of all of this uncertainty, Captain Jim Lovell was interviewed from Earth. The interviewer asked him this question. He said, "Have you ever been so fearful and feeling lost while flying that you didn't think you'd make it home?" Jim Lovell then shared this brief story. He said, "I was flying one day on a routine training mission. We had taken off from a carrier in the Pacific in the middle of the night. And suddenly one engine went out. We lost all power. There was no altimeter. There was no engine. There was no radio, no radar. I sat in complete darkness. To make matters worse, the carrier that I left from was also in darkness. So here in the middle of a darkened ocean in a dead aircraft, looking for a darkened carrier, all I could do was point the plane and glide toward where I thought the carrier might be." So when I was about to lose hope and think about ditching the plane, I saw down below a faint green glow in the ocean. And as the plane glided a little closer, I realized what I was seeing was the action of the propeller of the aircraft churning up the algae in the ocean. And as it did, it gave off this light green glow. It was enough light for him to see the carrier and to bring his plane home safely. Jim Lovell then concluded with this comment I found so telling. He said, if I had had any light in my aircraft, I could never have seen the guidance that led me home. He said, we're often led home, even in moments of greatest darkness. I've always loved the metaphor of that story. The faint green glow of the plankton in a midst of a blackened ocean was a true treasure in the darkness. His safe pathway home was hidden in plain view. Thankfully, we also know that NASA did get the rest of the crew home safely. But for me, that story has also been a metaphor for how God gives us treasures in our darkness. Gifts of guidance and support and encouragement, oftentimes they are gifts that are hidden in plain view. They can often be subtle signs marking the pathway home. That's why I loved your music anthem, The Road Home. But if only if we have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and the hearts to feel God's blessings. We'll look briefly this morning at the three scripture that we've read. The writing from Isaiah, Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, and the verses from Matthew, because they all share in a somewhat different way that image of the hidden treasures of God. The most important thing we can remember, though, is these hidden gifts are given to us so that we remember time and again that the transcendent power of life comes from God and not from us. Now, the Isaiah text. You think it's kind of unusual to dig back into Isaiah's story. But the writing comes from the part of Isaiah called 2nd Isaiah. A little bit about what's happening. The nation Israel is found in exile. They're in Babylon. Their nation is widely scattered. Their precious temple lays in ruin. It's one of the darkest times in all of Israel's history. But God begins to speak through the prophet to tell him restoration is coming. But there was a big surprise. Part of the restoration involved Cyrus, the king of Persia, a pagan king who didn't know Yahweh, but he was anointed to help usher in the restoration of Israel. Israel's God was so great, he could even influence pagan kings who didn't even know him. From Isaiah 44, just prior to our reading, the prophet writes, Cyrus is my shepherd, he will fulfill all my purposes. And of Jerusalem, she will be rebuilt. And the temple, your foundation, shall be laid again. I, the Lord, will go before you to level the mountains. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hoards in secret places. I will guide you even though you do not know me. I will do this so that you all may know that I am the Lord. Susan Gregg Schroeder wrote a poem called Hidden Grace. I must say it comes from a wonderful devotion from our Board of Discipleship called Alive Now. I imagine you are familiar with it because I know Steve has written a number of times for it. But I want you to hear these words because I think her poem helped capture part of what Isaiah was saying. So often, Divine One, the tasks before me feel so overwhelming and impossible. when I am tired and too tired to do anymore, when I am content just to be, when I stop long enough to rest, when I'm finally ready to give up, I find myself sitting on a treasure you have hidden in a field, waiting for me to discover it. And when I lift the treasure from its hiding place, I find that you have graced me with adequacy for all that lies ahead. The reading from Corinthians. I must confess, this is one of my favorite images from Scripture. But remember that at the beginning of 2 Corinthians, Paul is trying to reconcile with the church. Even though he helped found the church in Corinth, there were great tensions and conflicts and disagreements over all kinds of things, including offerings Paul was taking for the church in Jerusalem. But in this scripture, Paul uses this wonderful image of a fragile earthen vessel, a common clay pot. Common so much in the day, they carried water, they carried wine, they carried olive oil, they carried all kinds of things. They were fractured and broken and cracked, but still put in use. The clay pot by itself had little value. But God transformed that clay pot into something of infinite value. This is what Paul writes. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. Although we are afflicted, we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Once again, another poem I'd like to lift out. The imagery captures this image of the earthen vessel for me. It's a poem called "That I May Be Gold," written by Eleanor Cowles. God, turn my tears to treasure. Let my broken heart become a light to guide another to my path, so you will be the one they are led to. Let my slow and crippled walk attract the hurting one who fails and falls. Let my darkness glow. I lift my hands to you in love, for well I know what treasures lie in shattered lives when they are lifted up to you. So take my brokenness, refine it in the fire of your grace, that I may be gold, drifted here for all who seek your face. I'm afraid I'm probably not alone when I say that over the last couple of weeks, I've been watching a fair amount of the Rio Olympics. They've been on in our house quite a bit. And I must also confess that at this time the Olympics come, I'm always in the midst of this tension. There are some inspiring stories, but at the same time, I really get tired of all the commercialism. You know, the commercials you see for the 100th time? It was okay for the first couple, but the 100th time it gets a bit old. But there's one Olympian story, and actually a commercial that she appeared in, I wanted to lift up to you for a couple of reasons. You may have known of the story of Kayla Harrison. She's actually from Massachusetts, from Marblehead. Kayla is a world-class judo athlete. And in the London Games in 2012, she won a gold medal in the 78-kilogram weight class. And earlier at Rio, in a dramatic, I guess you call it a match, I'm not sure the term, she defended her title by beating a French woman and thus became the first competitor outside of Asia to defend an Olympic title. Now, she was actually featured in a commercial for an insurance company that I won't get into their name, but I found it was an interesting take on her gold medal. It begins by Caleb hearing and being asked this question. He said, people ask me what it's like to win a gold medal. And I tell them, you already know. The medals that you have earned are all around you. Caleb continues, he said, here's your bronze. It shows a man washing and waxing his car. Caleb continued, your silver. Men and women are unloading boxes and moving into a home. And finally, she says, your gold. As two parents are pushing their toddlers in strollers. Now, of course, the insurance company wants you to think about insuring your car and your house and your friends, but I think the deeper meaning was Kayla said it right. The gold was not in the medals. It was in the people, the friends, the family, the church, the faith. Our treasures have nothing to do with Olympic medals. They're all about the gifts that are eternal. One other thing about Kayla's story. She announced she was retiring from judo at the end of Rio. And with an interview with Sheryl Springer in the Boston Globe, she said this. Now that I've received two gold medals, I want to focus my work on a new foundation she's founded called Fearless Foundation. It's dedicated to working with victims of sexual abuse. Kayla Harrison herself was abused by her first judo coach. She's now dedicating her life to others who need care and compassion. So you think about when all the Olympic lights have gone down and the media has stopped coming, Kayla's greatest gift will be far greater than two gold medals. Hidden beneath all of that hour of preparations that she put in is the grace of compassion. And you talk about letting God take your brokenness and refining it into something of value to become treasures for others. Finally, the verses we read from Matthew. Just a brief word. As I mentioned, the chapter that this comes out of is really talking about practical Christianity. How do we pray? How do we fast? How do we give tithes and offerings? How are we devoted to God? How do we have stewardship of the gifts God gives us? At the end of this is the reading we shared. I think it's a practical warning to us about what we value. Do we value the treasures of earth that erode and corrupt and fade away and rust? Or do we value the treasures of heaven? Where your treasures lie, so lies your heart. What other Olympic story that really helped tell this scripture story in some ways to me? You've probably seen one of the video clips that has been most prominent in the Olympics the last couple of days. It also, interestingly, features an athlete from Massachusetts. Abby D'Agostino is from Topsfield. And Abby was running the 5,000 meter in the semifinal. You might have seen the story where she accidentally clipped the heel of the woman in front of her. Her name was Nikki Hamblin from New Zealand. Hamblin went down. Abby tried to miss hitting her, but she twisted her knee and went down in a crumble. But she was the first one to get up. She went to Nikki Hamblin and tapped her on the shoulder and said, get up, girl. We need to finish this race. It's the Olympics. Hamblin said she was confused, but she got up and they both started running. Abby didn't get very far when she realized she had a very significant knee injury. She crumpled to the track again. This time it was Nikki Hamblin who stood beside her and said, come on, get up. You got to finish. It's a miracle. They both did finish. The Olympic Committee actually awarded them both a place in the finals, but unfortunately, Abby couldn't run. Nikki did. But there's a little backstory that I want you to hear if you haven't already. It's because there's a faith story behind this for Abby. The first part of the story is that she wasn't supposed to be at the Olympics at all. In the U.S. time trial, she came in fifth. Only the top three went on to the Olympics. But during the summer, two other competitors decided to focus on different events. It opened up the opportunity for Abby to be at the Olympics. In her own words, she said, "Just being here was an act of God's grace." Then there was this. Carolyn Manoa, anchor for NBC News, had both of them in studio. And she asked Abby the question, "How did you finish four laps around the arena when you knew you had a badly torn knee?" Abby held out her hand, and you could see written across her hand, she said, "This is my favorite verse. Now to him that is able." She said, "I kept looking at that, and I realized at this time in my life, I'm not able, but God is." She said, "I prayed my way through the last three laps, looking at that scripture." The final part of their interview, Carolyn asked both of these runners, "Would you change anything about your Olympic experience?" And both of them quickly said no. This is because what we experienced, sacrificing for each other, showing compassion for another runner, was far greater, a far greater gift than winning a medal. Talk about putting your faith in things that last. So I hope some of the insight from Isaiah, the gifts that come through treasures of darkness, Paul's writing about how God uses our weakened vessels to carry such a great gift, and the story about challenging us to how we prioritize our lives. As we think about these gifts, may it also help us realize God is the one who gives us power for life, not us. Those gifts are hidden in plain view. I hope and pray you have the eyes to see. Thanks be to God.